Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this Ash Wednesday 2017, we're gathered around a topic that is not about salvation, but it's something that we should know about regarding our lives in Jesus Christ. So as ones who are sinners, but yet repentant sinners, that means we want to know more about what God's Word says. We want to know more about how we can make application in our lives in order to honor our great God, in order for us to receive His blessings. So tonight we come to the topic of fasting. What is fasting? According to a Google definition, it means to abstain from all or some kinds of food or drink. Actually, there is so much more to fasting than that simple definition. You'll see that tonight as we touch on a number of Bible passages that deal with the topic of fasting. Understand that fasting is recorded in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Fasting can be coupled with a very serious prayer. Fasting can be coupled with repentance. Fasting can help us focus on God. It can take away the distractions, help us focus on God. It can also be helpful in seeking the will of God. Let's say you have a very important decision to make. By fasting, God can work through that process in order to help us know His will in a particular situation. And then under normal circumstances, we keep fasting to ourselves. But sometimes, though, there are occasions where we want to share a little bit about fasting, not to say, oh, look at me, I'm fasting, but rather to say, I've learned something about fasting, and if I can share it with you, maybe you can benefit from it too. Before we get into the readings that we have for tonight, I want to invite Matt, my son-in-law, to come forward to the lectern now. And Matt has done more fasting than anybody I know. So he's going to tell us a little bit about his experience with fasting before I get further into the sermon. So let's hear what Matt has to say.
Good evening. How's everyone doing? So I just wanted to share some of my experiences and some of the information that God has led me down the path of knowing and understanding and being interested in. And I just want to pass all this information on to you. So here we go. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Never skip a meal. Eat many small meals instead of a couple large ones. This is the conventional wisdom of today's society. What most people don't realize is that we should be doing the exact opposite for optimal health. We can accomplish this very easily by making fasting a part of our everyday lives. I would like to talk a little bit about how fasting has impacted my life, the physical benefits it provides, and my theory on why fasting is not a common practice today. So, about 2 years ago, I weighed over 235 pounds, and more often than not, I felt sluggish, mentally drained, often getting colds, and I was constantly worried about how my weight would affect my health, which caused me a lot of anxiety. I had tried many fad diets, but nothing really stuck with me long term because it wasn't sustainable. The key was to find something that I could incorporate into my life every day to help improve my health. A friend from work told me about a lifestyle that used daily fasting to fix a lot of sicknesses, weight issues, boost your immune system, and many other benefits. It seemed really crazy and very controversial, but I have been doing it now for almost 2 years, actually over 2 years now, and I've lost over 50 pounds. I'm rarely ever sick. And I have more energy now in my 30s than I had in my 20s. Why is fasting so effective and so beneficial? The key is the way that God designed your body. So some of the physical benefits of fasting. Your body has been designed to be very regenerative in nature. Many of your cells die and regrow at different rates depending on the function of that cell and other factors. Regenerating and repairing the cells in your body requires a lot of energy. Another function that your body requires a lot of energy is digestion. It is estimated that 65% of the body's energy must be directed to the digestive organs after a meal. When we fast, Instead of using all that energy for digestion, we allow our body to use that energy for healing itself, removing toxins that have built up, and replace dead, damaged, or diseased cells with healthy ones. An easy way to think about it is like a filter for your furnace at home. If you don't take the time to clean that filter, your furnace has to work harder and harder and harder and becomes less and less efficient. At some point, it will become so inefficient that it will just stop working, and you will have no choice but to get things fixed. The same thing happens to us when we get sick. Since conventional wisdom tells you to eat frequently, our bodies have to stop what they're doing, digest food instead of fighting infections or repairing our immune system. Have you ever lost your appetite when you've gotten sick? I have. The reason for this is because your body naturally, by design, is forcing the healing process to begin by removing the desire for you to eat food so it can spend that energy on healing itself. This is just a single example. God has made your body so efficient, it can regenerate your entire immune system in 3 days. I don't think that's a coincidence, especially seeing in John 2:19, where Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Studies are finding that after a 3-day water fast, your body will go into a survival mode where, in order to keep your body functioning correctly, it actually starts burning cells for energy. This is also known as autophagy, which in Greek means self-devouring. God designed your body to prioritize dead, damaged, diseased, and cancerous cells to be the very first thing that it burns to get energy. However, after you end your fast, the body knows to replace all the cells it burned with brand new, fresh, healthy cells, effectively removing the bad cells and creating brand new ones. These are just a couple of the benefits, though. Some other improved conditions because of fasting are as follows: mental clarity, improved skin, insulin resistance, allergies, control of hunger cravings, production of growth hormone, asthma, headaches and migraines, mood swings, heart disease, high blood pressure. And I just want to note also, I told my father about this, and he started doing this as well. He used to be on high blood pressure medications of all sorts. Now he's no longer on those medications, and he's lost like over 70 pounds. It's magnificent. Metabolism, fat mobilization, cholesterol, irritable bowel syndrome, lupus, psoriasis, arthritis, breaking free from substance abuse and addictions. The reversal of diabetes by regenerating a diabetic pancreas, which I was just blown away by some of these studies that are coming out that we're finding more and more today. And the reversal of degenerative diseases and nerve damage. So here's some of my theories on why on some fasting trends. Some of the question is, why aren't more people fasting? The breakfast food industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. In 2015 Breakfast Food Statistic Research Study, cereal products alone contributed over $6.8 billion in sales. Pop-Tarts alone for the pastry category accounted for $331 million. So it's not in their best interest to promote skipping breakfast. The more you hear that skipping breakfast is bad and how eating breakfast is important, the more you'll think that those statements are true and authoritative. Also, the internet is a very big place. For every argument for skipping breakfast, you'll be able to find one or more arguments against skipping them. So be sure to do your own research. On a spiritual level, though, the devil doesn't want you to fast because God, our Father, has told us through his word about the importance of fasting. It only makes sense that the devil would try to discredit or eliminate it from our lives completely. The more frequently we eat, the less time our bodies spend healing, the sicker we get. And rather than allow our bodies to heal itself naturally, the average person looks to a pill or some other medicine, which may end up making us more sick, and the cycle repeats itself. So in conclusion, the way I like to think about it is this. God gives us countless blessings that we do not deserve. On a spiritual level, God gave us his one and only Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. This gift costs us nothing. It is free. On a physical level, God created fasting as a means to allow our bodies to heal and detoxify. And this gift also costs us nothing. It is free. Fasting in today's world seems crazy, dangerous, and is littered with myths and half-truths, similar to how the people view the Bible today. However, fasting can be done easily, safely, and effectively. If anyone wants to talk to me about fasting or how to incorporate in their lives or how it has also affected my life, feel free to do so. I love talking about it, and you can ask my wife. She has heard enough about me talking about fasting. God bless you all, and thank you for listening to me. Amen.
Thank you very much, Matt. I never had any idea about all that with fasting. I'm focusing just on the biblical part, but Matt's trying to help us understand that there are many very practical reasons to fast, and it can be quite a blessing to our bodies if we would go through some fasting. So you'll notice in the sermon tonight that the Bible doesn't command fasting in the New Testament, but there is a place we'll come to in Matthew 6, and Jesus doesn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. So he's implying that you will be doing some fasting, even though there's not a requirement. But I'm going to come to at least one incident where, again, you don't have to, but there is very good reason why we really should think about it at least on that day, but maybe a whole lot more often than that. And you can find out more from Matt after the service tonight. Let's try to take a look at some of these readings here. So first of all, we see some fasting coupled with a very serious prayer. So going to the book of Esther, in chapter 4, the Bible says, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, what's that talking about? That's talking about the fact that a date had been set in which all the Jews in the entire world would be exterminated. So when he found out about that, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping. Sometimes when we think about eating, we're thinking about eating because it's just kind of something that we do. But when something else really important comes up, like the fact that we're going to get put to death, we're not thinking so much about eating anymore. Now we're focused on the other issue. That's what happened for them. Eating seems really important until something else comes up in life that is even more important. Notice here in Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel 6, that's the account of Daniel in the lion's den. You know that well. Notice here in a couple verses. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. So were those hungry lions? We might say, well, they must not have been. Daniel was put in there. The door was sealed shut. He was in there for a whole night, didn't have a scratch on him. But if you know that chapter, though, it's such a startling thing because it tells us in that chapter that the king was about ready to promote Daniel to second in line to the king. So you had three people who were under the king. Daniel was one of the three. Under each of the three, there were 40 other men who were ruling. So you had the king and 123 others. And the king was about ready to make Daniel number two. Daniel was a foreigner. The people were jealous. They didn't want this. So they get the king to make up a law because they're trying to trap Daniel, and the king was foolish, and he did it. And when he made the law, then he couldn't get out of it. The king didn't want to do it, but he had no choice but to throw Daniel into the lion's den. It's so interesting that once Daniel is brought out alive, the king finally realizes what has happened, and the king takes the other two men and all the ones under them who had conspired in this, and he takes also their wives, and he takes also their children. Must have been quite a lion's den. But all those people were put into the lion's den. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 6 that before a single person got all the way down to the floor of the den, every bone in their body had been crushed by these lions. So these were hungry, ferocious lions. And yet, by the power and the grace of God, they did not touch Daniel. But notice what happened, though. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. So the king was all focused on Daniel. He was worried about him. He was concerned about him. He didn't want any food that was going to distract him. He didn't want anything brought to him. He was just concerned and focused on Daniel. Sometimes we need to focus in life. Sometimes we need to fast in order to get ourselves focused on something really important. Notice in this next one, we're talking about people who fasted, but they did so in a hypocritical way. Let me state this up front before we look at the reading. Anytime fasting is going on the outside, but it's not connected to a right heart on the inside, that is hypocritical fasting. Notice what it says here. The people said to the Lord, "Why have we fasted, and you see it not?" So the Lord responded to them and said, "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high." So they were trying to do some kind of a show on the outside, trying to get God to pay attention to them and answer their prayers. And yet, God could see the heart. God knew they were not sincere, and God was calling them on the carpet on it. Now notice what God goes on to say. And when we think about fasting, we might think about giving up maybe food or drink, a certain kind, or for a certain time. But you're going to find out here, though, that fasting means a whole lot more than just food and drink. Notice what the Lord said to them. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover him?" So he's talking about giving genuine love to others who are in need. He is saying that is also fasting. Now, there's no requirement to fast at all during the season of Lent. God doesn't put that requirement upon us in the Bible. But if we would choose to do it with giving up a meal or giving up a certain kind of food or a certain kind of beverage, what's the idea of fasting? The whole idea is that whatever we would give up when we're longing for it, that should direct our attention to Jesus, and we should be like, "Oh, dear God, Jesus gave up his very life for me. So because I'm giving up my favorite candy bar, is there a comparison here? I gave up my candy bar. Jesus gave up his life." So the idea of when I'm longing for the candy bar, now it focuses me on Jesus and what he did for me. That's how fasting can work. But the other way, though, fasting is not just taking away. Fasting can be adding on. So Kathy and I had a conversation this morning, and we decided that we're going to do something this Lenten season that is something in addition to what we normally do. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's something we're going to do in addition. Normally we think about taking something away, but this is going to be adding something. It's a little bit what God is saying here in this situation. And then notice what it goes on to say. "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." So what he's saying there is, he's encouraging us to fast in a proper way. And he's saying, when you do, I will bless you. So he's giving us great encouragement to go in that direction. And then we come to Joel chapter 2. We see some fasting here coupled with repentance. It says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments." Let me pause there for a moment. There was a practice in the Old Testament where if people were very upset with something, they would grab a hold of their clothes and they would just tear them. And it was a visible sign on the outside that they were very upset with what just got said, with what just happened. What God is saying here, God is saying, don't make some kind of a show on the outside. Don't tear your garments. But he's saying, rather, on the inside, tear your heart, is what he's saying. So again, when it's on the outside, but it's not in agreement with on the inside, hey, people can do it, but God knows the truth of it, and it just isn't a good thing. He wants us to take a real close look at the heart, and whatever's going on there that's not good, he wants us to be repentant from the inside out. And then it goes on to say, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So the Lord is a wonderful Lord. No matter how far we have drifted away, no matter what our situation is, he's saying, I love you, repent, come back to me. I'm a gracious and loving God. I will warmly welcome you. I'd love to be in a relationship with you again. So the doors are open and he's welcoming us to come. And then we come to part four, and we see fasting connected to the most important day in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Leviticus 16, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you, for on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. What does that mean to afflict yourself? According to the Lutheran Study Bible, to afflict yourself included a practice of self-denial practiced by the Israelites, and it was a 24-hour abstention from food, drink, bathing, anointing, and sexual intercourse. So it was a time where all that mattered for that 24-hour period was the fact that I'm a sinner, and that I can't fix that, and that God is promising that he will send his son and he will fix it. And the Day of Atonement was a rehearsal for when Christ would come and would give his life to take away our sins. So every year, the Day of Atonement was so important because the thing the people needed the most was forgiveness, and that day pointed them to Christ like no other day the entire year. So it was a very important thing. So on that day, fasting was required in the Old Testament. Nobody could eat or drink anything for a 24-hour period of time. In the New Testament, we don't have that requirement. But if we said that atonement was the most important day in the Old Testament, what do you think is the most important day in the New Testament? Okay, very good. Good Friday. So atonement was rehearsal for Good Friday, and now in the New Testament, we are remembering the actual events of Good Friday. So very closely connected. Do you have to fast on Good Friday? You don't. But if you're going to fast one day a year, that would be the day to do it, because that is the day when Jesus allowed people to nail him to the cross. It's the day when he received the sins of the whole world. It's the day when he received God's punishment for all the things we have done wrong, and it's the day that the very Son of God laid down his life. A monumental day. God wants us to know that, and fasting, you don't have to, but you might want to think about it on that day especially. When it comes to fasting, generally we should keep it to ourselves. I know Matt shared with us some fasting things in his life, so we can learn about them and benefit from them. But notice what Jesus said here in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. What's the idea? So here I am, I'm fasting, I'm dehydrated, I'm hungry, and I'm going around like with a bad look on my face. Oh, it's so difficult, this fasting. Well, if I do that, if I act that way, my reward is that you guys know that I'm fasting. That's my reward. But what did Jesus say, though? But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So when we fast, again, we should never fast if it's hypocritical. We always want the heart inside to be in agreement with the fasting on the outside. But then, if we tell other people that is our reward, or if we keep it secret, then the Bible says that God will reward us. I'm pretty sure that God's reward will be a better reward than you guys knowing that I was fasting. So it's up to you, though. Number six, here's some fasting with worship and prayer. So in Acts chapter 13, it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and leaders." So if you look more carefully at that section, you'll note that there were five of them. And then it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" So there were five, and the Holy Spirit said, "I want this one, and I want this one." So the Holy Spirit identified which two of the five. And then it says, "Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." So it was a very important thing that they had the right men, so they were chosen in connection with fasting. And then the work they were going to do was very important, so they gave them a blessing to do that work, and they did that in connection with fasting. So fasting is for things that are really important. I hope it's okay to share it. Sometimes I'm not quite sure, but it gives you an example, though. But I think about Matt and Hannah, and you might remember, some of you might remember that Noah had a little bit of surgery when he was an infant. So I know Matt had contacted me and some others and said, "Are you willing to do a 24-hour fast prior to Noah's surgery? And every time during that 24 hours that you're hungry, you say a special prayer to God that he would bless that surgery and grant success." So there were some people that fasted, and actually that surgery was such a blessing that it went so quick, so easy. Noah was like a new little boy after that surgery. It was so amazing. So can we say it was because of the fasting? Oh, we can't necessarily. But there was some fasting going on, and God really did bless that surgery in a wonderful way. So that's one example of a way that we can fast. But the idea is to fast, to keep it to yourself, to direct your attention to Christ and to our Father in heaven, you know, according to whatever the situation might be. One final powerful example here that has to do somewhat with fasting. In Acts chapter 14, it says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead." Imagine that situation. People hate you so much that they stone you, and they're like, "Oh, stop throwing stones. We think he's dead." Then they drag you out of the city and leave you outside the city just to rot. They think you're dead. Well, that happened to Paul. But then in verse 20 it says, "But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city." Paul was so courageous, wasn't he? You'd think he'd say, "That's the last place I want to go is back into that city." But he gets up and he goes right back into the city. What an amazing thing. And then it says, "On the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." Notice that the Jews who came and stoned him supposedly to death, they were from Iconium and Antioch, and now he returns to those cities. What a guy. He was so determined to do the will of God, to bring the word of God to people, no matter how difficult it might be. So he went there, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Think about that statement. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Did Paul get nearly stoned to death, and then he said, "That's too difficult for me. I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to talk about Jesus"? By no means. He was right back at it. God wants us to know that when difficulties come, it's not a pleasant thing, but God uses it, though, to draw us close to him. Let me put it this way. That's what he wants to do. I still remember when I had this course at seminary called Crisis Counseling, and I remember the professor drawing a circle on the board, and he said, "The circle is the crisis." So he said, "Here you are coming along in life, and you hit the crisis, and he said, it's impossible to go right straight out the other side. He said, when you hit the crisis, you're either going to be going in this direction, going closer and closer to God because of the crisis, or you're going to be going this direction, further and further away because of the crisis. God doesn't want this, but sometimes we misinterpret the crisis. Think about what it says early in the book of James. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Right after that, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So what he's saying there, he's saying, when you have a trial and you don't understand it, don't go away from God, but rather ask God for wisdom to help you understand the trial, so you won't go away from him, but rather you will draw closer to him. These are not easy things, but that's what God wants us to do, though. He doesn't want us to walk away because it's difficult. And then it goes on in 23. And when they had appointed elders, in other words, pastors, for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So this was going to be a very difficult ministry for these men, so they wanted to give them a really special blessing. So they did so with prayer, they did so with fasting. As we think about what we covered tonight, I know it was a lot, but I want to thank Matt again for what he shared. Don't forget that it's so important with fasting that it has to be connected to the heart in a proper way. Remember, with fasting, you can give up something, that is fasting, or you can choose to do something in a loving way toward others, that is also, in a sense, according to the Bible, a form of fasting. Fasting is not required, but there are great blessings that come from fasting. So I invite you to think about it. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for what we heard tonight about fasting. We pray that you would show us how to fast in such a way that you would be honored, that we would be blessed, and even that we might be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.